William Hague has called for a clear, calm and united response to the increasing rhetoric from North Korea. It comes as the US said it was suspending a test firing of a long-range missile to avoid exacerbating tension with North Korea. Peter Hayes is the director of the Nautilus Institute for Security and Sustainability, which is based in California and focuses on the Asia-Pacific region. Peter, could you explain the thinking behind the US military's cancellation of this, as it's known, Minuteman III missile launch?
Sure, Admiral. Thanks very much. Here at RMIT, we do a lot of work that's in Australia, actually, as well as our San Francisco office. We do a lot of work on North Korea. The Minuteman test is one of a series of operational tests that are done to make sure that these things work and are reliable, and they do one or two a year. This one has clearly been postponed indefinitely in order to send a signal to Pyongyang and to Beijing that the U.S. is in a mood to de-escalate rather than escalate. So if they're paying attention, they'll see that this is a symbolic statement of American intent to not attack North Korea. That's the essence of it.
Was this missile launch really part of the agenda in this escalation of hostilities? It's the first time I'm hearing that it was, a sticky issue, if you like.
Well, I don't think it was a sticky issue until it happened to coincide with this escalation of tension in North Korea, which is driven by events on the peninsula. This is just a routine, regularly scheduled missile test. But because it's really not related directly to Korea, but can be read and interpreted, it's a useful way to send a non-provocative message to Pyongyang and Beijing. Even if it were fired, it wouldn't be firing or going in the angle that would take it to either China or North Korea. So it's a backdrop way of saying we're not attacking North Korea with nuclear weapons. Now, that won't necessarily reduce the level of paranoia, and paranoia always or often has an element of truth in it in Pyongyang. They don't know where the B-1 or B-2 bombers are. They don't really have a sense of ultimately the American intentions. They know the United States attacked Gaddafi with stealth bombers. They know that the United States is capable of attacking North Korea, and so they're taking the worst case. The question is, how seriously they believe that that attack is imminent and therefore they have to attack first. That's really the real question.
Is the Pyongyang in the mood to receive an olive branch from the United States?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I think that they are quite realistic and, they're trying to drive a wedge in the alliance between the United States and South Korea. They're trying to test the backing that they're getting from China, and they're trying to really test American resolve. All those things are in play. But on the other hand, they also have this, I think it's April 13th or April 15th, I can't remember which, birth date of Kim Il-sung, the founding father of the North Korean state, and something big is expected around that time. Now, some have speculated that that will be a North Korean missile test, the so-called Musudan long-range missile, which has been deployed, it said, no proof of that, and has never been tested. It's been deployed for quite a few years. So there's talk that that might happen over the next few days leading up or on the 15th or 13th of April.
Has America at least done enough to placate Chinese worries now?
I honestly don't know. I'm sure there's been, I know for a fact because it was in the media that Obama talked to the president of China in the last few days about North Korea. And I'm sure that the wires are humming and the diplomats are talking in Beijing. But, we shouldn't think that Beijing has a whole lot of influence at the end of the day over North Korean behavior. And that's something that has been demonstrated time and time again. Leaves the Chinese and the Americans frustrated. This isn't something that the United States can outsource to China to solve. They're the direct antagonist with North Korea. And the only safe way to talk the Koreans back down out of the tree where they're throwing coconuts at us from is to talk to them. We can't sanction them out of the tree. If we force them out of the tree by cutting it down, we're likely to get hurt as well. We've really got to talk them down. And that's just the reality of being a great power, distasteful as it might be to some in Washington.
What do you make of the British Prime Minister William Hague's approach to the coconuts being thrown? On the one hand, he's playing it down by not moving British diplomats from Pyongyang, even though the North Koreans say they can no longer secure their safety. And on the other hand, he's saying that there should be this clear, calm and united response. What kind of clear, calm and united response could he mean?
Well, I don't think it's really up to Britain to make a response, because whilst Britain is a UN command ally, they're not really on the scene militarily. It's for the United States to make those calm and somewhat silent responses at this point. And I think the United States is doing so. There have been a number of signals that have been sent that the North Koreans will have seen or listened to. For example, just before the crisis really erupted, the United States changed the format of the signals, which can be monitored. They're broadcast open and are monitored by amateur groups around the world. They changed the format of the emergency action messages to send nuclear attack signals to American submarines in the West Pacific. We've just deployed the Tucumo aircraft to relay messages to nuclear submarines in the West Pacific, which is another very powerful signal if you're monitoring those kinds of signals. So there are lots of small and significant signals. My guess is the U.S. is moving some ground troops back up towards the demilitarized zone from where they were they were moved back towards the rear a few years ago. Quiet, firm signals about conventional deterrence, because at the end of the day, the North Koreans know full well the United States is never, ever going to use a nuclear weapon in North Korea, even in response, in my view, to a North Korean nuclear attack. It would be militarily needless, and it would be catastrophic politically and from a humanitarian viewpoint. So there are plenty of other ways to deal with North Korean offensive forces that might attack South Korea without reverting to nuclear weapons. And I'm quite confident the U.S. and its allies are doing those things. The problem is, I think they made a strategic blunder when they sent in the B-52s and the B-1 bombers and said publicly these are about nuclear simulated attacks. And that was a very stupid, tactically smart, but strategically stupid thing to do. It really rattled the North Koreans' cage and recalled the worst moments of near war in 1976, which is the last time the U.S. did such a thing by sending in the B-52s and the then F-111s, which really alarmed the North Koreans at the time.
Peter, many thanks. Peter Hayes, the director of the Nautilus Institute for Security and Sustainability. And in case you're wondering, April the 1st was a week ago. It's April the 8th today. I can confirm that William Hague is the foreign minister and David Cameron is the prime minister. Just in case you're wondering.
Across the UK.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live. Up all night
with Dotun Adebayo.